Well, I love a rainy night. I love a rainy night. I love to hear the thunder, watch the lightning when it lights up the sky. You know it makes me feel good.
Yeah, I've been waiting for this one.
You like
well,
this one?
I love a rainy night.
And he rabbit.
I like the rain that comes like this, because I do have one dog that kind of freaks out in the thunder and the lightning. I'd love to hear from our listeners. If you have a dog that freaks out under thunder and lightning, what do you do for them? I literally have one. I had one dog. He's deceased now. But he literally would go completely crazy when it started lightning and thunder. And he was born in Missouri. Like, what's that about? You know, seriously, he was born in the Ozarks. He should have heard thunder and lightning in the womb of his mother, you know. But man, it would start lightning and thunder. He could just get nervous, and the vet would give me medicine to calm him down, and he would just sit like a. I didn't like giving that to him, so we just kind of waited out. All right, let's get back to Scott calling from Litchfield. Y'all all know the problem Scott has. When we pour concrete up against the house or in between large slabs, we put this black
fiberboard
in there to absorb the expansion and contraction of the concrete, so it's not expanding and contracting concrete to concrete. It's kind of like a shock absorber. And y'all have all seen it at many of your houses where you're going to start squeezing that and it starts popping up and it looks like a little black board that's sticking up and wiggly and everything like that. Scott, what I'm going to tell you to do is a lot of people attack that stuff with a screwdriver and a hammer and they try and get it all out, every bit of it. Don't do that. Just take a razor blade knife and cut the part that's protruding above the surface that's visible. You actually would like to see that product stay in there between the two concrete slabs.
Okay.
Once you've got that done, and I usually try and take it down about a half inch below the top of the concrete, you can then add any one of a number of elastomeric concrete caulks.
Okay.
I see you're in Litchfield Park. You can get over to Border Marvell.
Thunderbird.
And 75th Avenue, or even farther out than that, isn't it? It's like 92nd Avenue.
No. It's inside the 101. So
oh, okay.
It might even be 65th. Is or it? Something.
Okay. Border Marvell. They'll have a product that you can, it's a caulk that you actually just lay back in there.
Okay.
It solves the problem 80% of the time. The only time it's not going to solve the problem is when the moisture's coming up from subgrade from below the concrete.
Okay.
And it allows that elastomeric material to continue expanding, and it's going to start pushing it back up. But if you can control the moisture under the slab and you have good surface drainage and the water's going away from the area, go ahead, cut it with a razor blade knife. You can get in there with a little half-inch chisel, kind of shave it down a half inch below,
okay,
and then fill it with this particular concrete elastomeric caulk.
Okay. Now, there's some pieces of that board that are missing.
That's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Now, I got maybe, what, the slab is, what, 4 inches?
Thick.
Can I put anything to fill up some of that gap?
Depending on how much of is missing, I would just buy an extra tube or two of this caulk, and I would just jet it in there thicker and thicker, and again, building that shock absorber cushion between the two slabs.
Right, okay. So if I go down to Border Marvell, explain to them my situation, they're going to hook me up with the product.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, do you have a smarter than you phone?
No, I don't.
Do you have a digital camera?
I do.
Okay, just take a couple shots and bring that into the store.
Okay.
They'll know exactly what to set you up with and talk you right through it.
And 67th Avenue and...
Just get off Thunderbird at the 101 and head east. You'll see it on the north side.
Okay.
There's 75th where they had tried to put a gun club. I don't know it ever went there. So I know it's not 75th, so it's past that.
Okay.
But there's no light. Just look on the north side for Border Marvell.
Fantastic. Thank you, gentlemen, very much.
Hey, Scott, thank you. We appreciate the call.
Now, generally speaking, I don't mention products we've never tested, but because this one isn't something that is, you know, it's outdoors, it's not going to hurt anything. Look at trim-a-slab.com. Trim a slab.
Trim a slab.
It's a rubber product that comes in four different widths used to be an expansion joint replacement. So it's just compression fit that you stomp into place.
I'm not familiar with that.
It's something we saw at the National Hardware Show last May in Las Vegas. And the way it's designed, it's got three different points of tension. So when you push it in and it's holding itself pressure tension, dirt and debris can't get in there. So then you don't ever have to worry about weeds growing out of it either. So you might want to ask them if they have trim a slab as well. Looking online, the closest distributor is out of California or Texas, but that doesn't mean Marvell's not a retailer of the product. But they've only got distributors listed on here. So
Let's get back to the subject of gutters, because I'd like to get it covered. We used to have relatives from Louisiana come out here and say, "Boy, you sure couldn't make a living out here as a gutter salesman, could you?" No, you really can. We weren't into putting a lot of gutters up through the 60s and 70s, but the more we realized that the tenacious and the dangerous conditions of our soils, the more we realize that, yeah, you really do need gutters on your house. And this is one area the Rosie on the House Referral Network is a little light, because we're having a hard time finding people in some of our outside surrounding areas that do it. So if you've had gutters put in Prescott, Flagstaff, Sedona, Tucson, Casa Grande, and you were happy with the job and they treated you fair and it was priced fair, give us a call. We'd like to build our network out to include this. In the Phoenix metro area, we know that JLC Enterprises currently just upgraded their gutter manufacturing process with a brand new machine. So in Maricopa County, call Tim at JLC. The number is 480-967-9183. And if you're in Pima, Yavapai, or Coconina County, consider rain harvesting. Consider not just putting the gutters in, but capturing it, storing it, using it for landscaping, water, livestock feeding, whatever.
And if you think you can make it through the screening process, if you are a rain harvester or do professional gutter installs, you can just give us a call at the office. We'll send you the pre-qual application and get started.
Absolutely. That's one category that we'd like to have a couple more represented in the referral network. So, and again, I want to encourage you, when you're putting this rain capturing equipment on your house, it's important that you try and maintain that water somewheres on your property. It's not fair to capture it and then send it downhill to your neighbor, who's then got to deal with it, and then he passes it to his neighbor, and it continually gets worse and worse. But capturing that water and keeping it on your property is great for the water table. It's great for your landscaping. I've converted from concrete patios and driveways. I'm completely Belgard paver now, and I'm a big believer in that permeable product that actually allows the water to go through the paver joints and get back into the water table itself. And then you're not sending any of your surface water into the storm drains, down the street, through the curb, and causing a bigger problem. I tell you what, if we could get rid of all the concrete driveways in Arizona and put them in Belgard permeable pavers, we'd have a lot of our street flooding problems solved right there. Just right there, it would probably solve it.
And one clarification point on rain harvesting in Maricopa County. There's still a benefit to it.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that if you can't do it from the mindset of getting a return on investment. If you live in an area that you don't need a lot of irrigation and gets more rain up in the mountains or down in southern Arizona, it can be a very good sell point to say, well, think of all the money you're going to save off your water bill that you're not going to need because you're rain harvesting.
Yeah.
So there's still a benefit to doing it in Maricopa County, but you can't approach it in a mindset of this is a money-saving investment, because you're probably not going to live long enough to see that return.
That's right. And you have to be creative sometimes. You know, I'm familiar with a piece of property that we were involved in remodeling the home, and it was a home that was built in the late 50s, and it was in North Scottsdale when there were no streets back then. It was out on a dirt road. Now when we build a house, you actually have to shoot grade to the top of the stem wall as it relates to the street level, so the stem wall is set above. Well, back then there weren't any streets to set the benchmarks off of, and this house as the city developed around it, ended up being lower and lower and lower and lower. Had a lot of problems with rain through the 70s and the 80s. So what we did is we built a retention basin in the backyard. We dug out 2 feet deep at this client's house and created a giant, giant lake that then we filled with sand. He put two posts up, and it's a backyard volleyball court, sand volleyball court. Every time it rains, all the water just disappears into that, in what is essentially a camouflaged lake. So it worked out very
brilliant.
You got to get creative sometimes. Let's see if we can handle Vito in Tucson. This sounds like a very peculiar problem. Good morning, Vito.
Good morning. At our townhouse at the Dorado Country Club in Tucson, we have a crack in the tile of our kitchenette. And during heavy rains, water comes seeping out through, a fair amount of water. And we had a roof done last summer. And another estimate we got was that there were cracks in the blocks. So we had those sealed. And still, during heavy rains, the water still keeps coming up. The other thing is that there's a drain pipe right outside the wall. And another person said that there's water puddling there. And so I dug out a trench. And it's still coming up. So I'm looking for a solution.
I guess you are. Boy, when it's raining, the water's coming up through the floor of the house.
Through the crack in the tile of the kitchenette floor.
And is it where the tile meets the outside wall, or is that out in the middle of the floor?
Where it meets the outside wall.
It's where it meets the outside wall. Okay. We should be able to solve that. What you may have to do is excavate that outside wall down to the footing, which could be about 18 to 20 inches. And then we're going to waterproof that foundation with a product called Thorough Seal. It's a powder, comes in a bag. You mix it with water and you apply it either with a trowel or a mortar wash brush. You allow that to dry. And it is an epoxy-based waterproofing. We actually use it on the uphill side of mountainside homes that we build, or for any foundations or any basements that we build. We apply this to the outside of it, and it works very good in these kind of applications as well. There's obviously some void or crack that's creating a problem in your outside stem wall that's allowing the water to get in through the stem wall and then surfacing and manifesting itself inside the house. You waterproof that outside stem wall and you'll have the problem solved, Vito. That's a new one. I don't get that call very often. We appreciate you listening. Appreciate you calling. We'll be right back.